broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 5th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, absolutely the answer to the problems we face. A good, honest, moral people cannot be stopped, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to engage. It's time to peacefully get involved and demand the checks and balances are followed. A quick recap of Friday's broadcast. Boy, did we cover a lot. U.S. national debt hits $19.5 trillion. That's right, with a T, dollars. Almost doubling under the Barack administration. By the time he's out, it'll be double from what it was when he started. What an absolute disgrace. The answer, audit the Fed yesterday, then end the Fed today. Judicial Watch just broke open yet another Hillary Clinton scandal. We released new emails that shows that there's a foreign billionaire donor to the Clinton Foundation getting special access, special attention from the State Department. They also, at WorldNet Daily now, WND.com, are releasing what they call the big list of felons. All these felons literally have a couple of things in common. One, they're all rich. Millionaires and billionaires from all over the world, and they're all felons. And they all donated serious money to the Clinton Family Foundation. WND.com for the list. 50 House Republicans are now concerned. They're demanding a special prosecutor on the Clinton Foundation. Conservative Daily brought that piece. Americans have, by and large, lost faith in their government, and rightfully so. Representative John Ratcliffe of Texas, he was the leader, and 50-plus House lawmakers said we need to assign a special prosecutor. Why? You got a pay-to-play scheme going on with Hillary Clinton. Got to investigate it. Got to get answers, say these 50-plus Republicans led by John Ratcliffe, Republican of Texas. Further casting a shadow of doubt over Hillary Clinton's special pay-to-play arrangement is the recent announcement by the Clinton Foundation that, hey, if Hillary becomes president, she'll distance herself. And they'll stop accepting donations from foreign governments. Here's the question. If it's wrong to accept donations from foreign governments as the president, is it wrong to do so as the presidential candidate and or the Secretary of State? And or if you want to go back to the who knows when she was Senate days? When is it all right and when is it not, huh? It's all criminal activity for pay to play. Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, good news. He was elected in the 2010 Tea Party election, if you will. He won his seat there, so that's good news. Gosar says his election is good and strong. Now, they said that Donald Trump loomed over McCain's and Rubio's bids for their seats. But you know what? They won. Now is the mainstream press, who made it sound like Trump was a negative in their campaigns. Now that they won, are they going to say Trump was a positive in those same campaigns or what? Just wondering. But it looks like McCain and Rubio both won. And I wonder if that reflects on Trump's strong standing. All right, we also talked about descendants of slaves are now going to receive college perks. Wow. Looks like Hillary Clinton raised $143 million in August. That's for herself and her party. Much of the money doesn't go to Hillary herself, but $143 million, folks. All right. Lloyd Marcus, our good friend, wrote an article. dissing our national anthem? Cool. It's in. Honoring cops? Controversial. Sam and Kurt chalk it up to in the latter days or the last days, good will be called evil, evil will be called good. Migrants are lured by sex into Egypt's back streets. They call it the kidney trade. I don't know how that all goes, but I guess they go back there for some good times and lose a kidney. Doesn't sound like a good plan to me. You know, if people just keep that good commandment that God set forward about, you know what, when you're single, you know what, no sexual activity allowed. When you're married, only with the person that you're married to, legally and lawfully wedded, if you will. That would be a good mantra. That was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. Second hour, we had our guest on, believe it or not, Mr. Curtis Ellis. You say, who is Curtis Ellis? He is Trump's economic policy advisor. And we talked about the latest jobs report as depressing and weak. The August jobs report shows a stagnant Obama economy, which has failed the American people desperately when it comes to jobs. The unemployment rate is unchanged at 4.9%. However, the country's labor force participation rate, much more important, it's at 62.8%. That's the Clinton-Obama recovery of 7 years of failure on just every yardstick. In other words, 62% of Americans are employed. That means almost a third, I mean, in this case, a little over a third, would be unemployed. Now, I'm not going to say that equates to 33% unemployment, but I'm going to say this. When they play games at 4.9%, and we know that a third of Americans at least don't have jobs, you got to start to dig into the data, ladies and gentlemen. And it absolutely looks dismal. It's crazy. Donald J. Trump will ensure growth in all sectors. He will work towards the return of jobs in America, and people can have the American dream. Anyway, that was an incredible interview with Donald Trump's economic advisor. We then had Richard Mack on CSPOA.org. And we talked quite a bit about the event that took place in Utah, helping people understand the proper role of the Constitution in relation to police officers and understanding the rule of law and a whole lot more. It was an incredible event. We'll be having more of those events. And that's a wrap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. Today's news that the networks refuse to use starts now. It is Labor Day. We are live. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Looks like Hillary and the Donald are both going to run around and meet with a bunch of union bosses, Kurt, today. They're all sitting out with the union people. I'm against forced unions, Kurt.
Imagine you being against force, you know.
I'm cool with unions. Like, the more perfect union in the United States is wonderful. Yeah. The National Taxpayers Union, which is a voluntary organization, I'm all in with that, too. So I'm not really against associations of bargaining for bettering of positions. I'm all for that. I'm just not for those force plans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't like that. Anyway, our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
You're not for those forced unions, are you?
No way. No way.
Yeah, you got to reject them, huh?
Forced is the only time I condone force is, like, you know, when your toddler runs out in the street and there's cars coming oncoming traffic, you run out there and you grab your child and rush him to safety. I mean, that's the use of force. That's the appropriate time to use force. But
that's that fine line of preservation.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, you had an opportunity to go see Hillary's America, the movie. Where'd you go see it at?
Thanksgiving Point in Lehi, Utah.
All right, did you get popcorn while you were there?
Well, no popcorn, but lots of good friends and people around me. It was a lot of fun to watch that movie, kind of a grim movie in a lot of ways, but I quite enjoyed it, and I recommend people see it. A few caveats about it. For instance, it suggested that the 1860s war between the states was fought to end slavery. Well, you and I both know such was not the case. That war between the states was fought to maintain a corrupt system of high tariffs and corporate subsidies, to establish a centralized state, and to overturn the founding principle that states are sovereign, and thereby it undermined the moorings of liberty in our blessed land here. The abolition of slavery was just a convenient piece of propaganda. As you know, the Emancipation Proclamation that Lincoln issued applied only to the states in rebellion and not to the northern states. So that's just one thing.
Hold on, let's talk about that a little bit more. We'll do it in seconds. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We are live for Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get down the business of the country, then we're going to go have fun with our families and worship our God. How do you like that, folks?
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Labor Day. We are live. Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun. We're talking about Hillary. We're talking about America's Hillary. Or Hillary's America, I should say, the movie. So you were saying, hey, you know what? It wasn't really about slavery like we think. This Civil War scenario, that was a lie, a piece of propaganda, if you will. The reality is quite different, Lowell, and point out the reasons, because I think you've got one of the best summaries I've ever seen on the reason for the Civil War.
Right. It's the reason for this war was to maintain a corrupt system of high tariffs and corporate subsidies, to establish a centralized state, and to overturn the founding principle that states are sovereign, and thereby undermine the moorings of liberty in this land. That is the real reason for the Civil War. It was meant to centralize the state, give it the power, not the state. See, the states were separate, independent, sovereign entities. They are the ones who created the federal government via the Constitution, and they vested that federal government, that central government, with specific, limited, enumerated powers. And the war between the states was the opportunity that Lincoln and his administration took to throw that upside down and make the federal government greater than, more powerful than, and superior to the state, and thereby set on its head the original founding principles of our nation.
Now, one interesting thing about that is a lot of people like to just blame Lincoln completely, and I think Lincoln was far from a perfect man, but I do believe he understood some things that we may not understand in terms of the unity of the nation, of preparing for the Savior Jesus Christ to come. I think he understood a lot more of it than he was given credit for. I think there was wickedness on all sides, and we were punished for our wickedness to a great degree. But I'm not really running around defending Lincoln as much as I'm saying I think there's more to that story, and I don't think a lot of the Southern folks are fair about that. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on that? I think everything you say is true, but I hesitate to give Lincoln the complete blame.
Well, he was he idolized Henry Clay, who idolized Alexander Hamilton, and Alexander Hamilton, as you know, was one of the founding fathers who advocated for a strong central government. He wanted it to be superior to the states, and so this was kind of a dream come true for him. Henry Clay advocated the same thing. Abraham Lincoln grew up in the Whig Party, and that was their position, a position of high tariffs and corporate subsidies, which is really what it was, the Tariff of Abominations of 1828, which grew so abominable by the 1850s and 60s, that's what impelled the southern states to separate themselves from the northern states. The tariffs were so high on the goods, the North was bleeding the South dry. It was basically a war, economic war, that the North waged on the South. And, you know, slavery, there was a much better solution to rid the country of slavery. Specifically, and in fact, there was a presidential candidate in the 1840s who ran on a platform of freeing the slaves by selling land of the United States and then giving that money to purchase the freedom of the slaves from the southern landowners. And so, if you have like 10 slaves and you got $1,000 of real money back then for each slave, then you could actually use that money to pay the now free slaves to work for you. They could become your employees, but not your slaves, if they chose to. I mean, that would be their option. If you pay them enough, they'd probably stay and work. And so this was a great solution. The presidential candidate I speak of is none other than Joseph Smith Jr., who was living in Illinois at the time. And so there was a...
And by the way, it was a great plan because it would have fostered the transition. And then some, even if they, didn't do it by government selling off of land or whatever, but many of them could have done it or would have done it eventually anyway, realizing that, hey, it was a better plan. The problem is, hey, there was so much hatred towards the Mormons at that time, and there was so much to do with eventually his martyrdom, et cetera, that it kind of derailed the discussion points, right?
That's yes, that's right, Sam. And the you make a good point. Abraham Lincoln alone is not responsible for this this problem, the war between the states. It was really the culmination of a great deal of economic warfare in the decades preceding.
And I believe all that's true. However, I would say this, though. Economics is certainly in the mix without a doubt. But look, when the people are not righteous, they lose liberty. And when the people are righteous, they gain liberty. And what happened was that over the former decades before the Civil War, the people were starting to become wicked in many, many ways. They persecuted religious people. They did all kinds of things, which was the whole purpose for the Republic being set up. And I'm just saying they paid the penalty for that. And it wasn't just Abraham Lincoln. I think at some point he realized the problems, but was stuck between a rock and a hard place. At some point, we just cannot look at a single leader and say, hey, that guy took it all down. I'm not sure it's that simple.
Right. Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah, it was a number of factors, lots of people involved over several decades that simply culminated in this particular war. Now, the loss of 600,000 lives, Sam, that's a huge penalty, a heavy price to pay for wickedness, and it sobers me, and probably should sober you too, to realize that, you know, if we suffered that many deaths and that much suffering for the sins of slavery, then I hate to think what kind of pain and suffering we must go through to pay the price of abortions and basically the sins of abortion.
I guarantee the penalty for that is going to be brutal enough. Anyway, very interesting, though. There's a book on this if you want to learn more about the Civil War and the reality behind it, right?
Well, the book that I recommend, and it's also one that Dinesh D'Souza recommends, and Dinesh was the one who made the movie, Hillary's America. It's entitled The Real Lincoln, A New Look at Abraham Lincoln, His Agenda, and An Unnecessary War, authored by Thomas J. DiLorenzo. Wonderful, illuminating book. You can read it several times and learn something new every single time. We're sort of getting away from the movie. I want to get back to that. The movie implicates the Democrat Party, and this is the other problem.
And justly so, by the way.
Absolutely. It exposes the dark underbelly of the Democrat Party, and of course the implication is that the Democrat Party is bad, and one could infer then that the Republican Party is good. And I sincerely hope that Dinesh will next make a movie exposing the dark underbelly of the Republican Party, because I think they have secret skeletons in their closet just as alarming as that of the Democrat Party, which this movie was about, basically exposing the roots of the Democrat Party and why it's bad and why we should not vote for Hillary and so forth. You know, the one thing that Dinesh does get right, Sam, and this is the part about the movie that is really crystal clear and a central message, in my opinion, and that is the reality of the con, I call it, because Dinesh was thrown in jail for 8 months because of making a movie about Obama's 2016, and that wasn't the reason he was thrown in jail, but that was what he thinks was probably the reason why they prosecuted him for giving too much money to a candidate for public office, and they threw the book at him basically, and had him locked up for every night for 8 months. But he would visit with these felons in prison. I mean, he was rubbing shoulders and bunking with these, murderers, thieves, rapists, and so forth, and con artists. And so he would talk to them about the con. And this is really very interesting. And I'll be happy to describe what the con is and how it relates to our modern-day political system after this important message.
We'll get it done in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
If a federal employee had discussed classified details about U.S. drone strikes, he or she would have had two possible options for avoiding prosecution: either fleeing into exile like Edward Snowden, or being a Secretary of State named Hillary Rodham Clinton. Some of the classified information Hillary Clinton discussed in emails sent on her private server appears to have centered around planned drone strikes and attacks against U.S. NATO soldiers in Afghanistan, observes Vice News, citing 58 pages of documents released by the FBI on the eve of a long Labor Day weekend. An FBI memorandum notes that when questioned by the Bureau, Mrs. Clinton's stated deliberation over a future drone strike did not give her cause for concern regarding classification. She understood this type of conversation as part of the routine deliberation process and believed the classification level of future drone strikes depended on the context. Elsewhere during the three-hour FBI interview, Mrs. Clinton made the remarkable claim that she didn't fully understand the classification markings on work emails. Regarding email chains containing a capital C designation meaning confidential, Mrs. Clinton told the FBI that she did not know what the C meant at the beginning of the paragraphs, and speculated it was referencing paragraphs marked in alphabetical order. It is worth pointing out that Mrs. Clinton and her supporters have often criticized Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump for being indifferent to the critical details for which a president would be responsible. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, quickly finishing up on Hillary's America, the film by Denise DeSalsa. He was thrown in jail for his previous film, Hillary, or whatever it is, 2016, right?
Obama
2016, sorry. Obama 2016, he's really tore the Democrats apart. He was in jail, as you were saying.
Right, and while he was in jail, he learned from the cons that were in there, the felons, that basically to run a good criminal operation, you plan, you make a pitch, basically sell your targets on your con, and then you take from them, steal from them, and then you deny that you're involved in a con. And so plan, pitch, take, deny, and deny. And so he was talking to the felons, and then it shows them looking up at the television monitors and, you know, Obama and Hillary and various figures in government, federal government. And so he made this connection. The real criminals are the ones running the federal government. And they're the ones with the great con. They're the ones who plan. They're the ones who make the pitch to the American people, programs like Obamacare. They're the ones who steal from those who have money. That's the take. And then they deny that they're involved in the operation. They deny responsibility for it, and they deny that they're hurting the American people. And yet we can clearly see that that programs like Obamacare are hurting the American people. So this is the paradigm of common criminals, and it matches the paradigm of the political class. And so it really, you know, this is a striking revelation that came to Dinesh when he was in the federal penitentiary, and it's a centerpiece of this movie, which, again, I really recommend that people go see it. The biggest, says D'Souza, he says, I learned how the hoodlums think and how they operate, how they organize themselves into gangs, and how they rip people off and crush their enemies. He says, I understood for the first time the psychology of crookedness, and suddenly I had an epiphany. This system of larceny, corruption, and terror that I encountered firsthand in the confinement center is exactly the same system that has been adopted and perfected by modern progressivism.
And that's on both sides of the aisle, ladies and gentlemen. In my humble opinion, the insiders are against the rest of us stealing our liberty, while we ignorantly fall for bread and circus. You got to stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, Hillary's America, the movie, bottom line, go see it, but don't be fooled into thinking the Republicans are great and the Democrats are bad. realize that we got corruption on both sides of the aisle, and then join us for liberty, ladies and gentlemen, to fix it. We need your help, and we need it desperately. You can get educated, you can get involved, and you can move towards solutions every time. By the way, Ron Paul wrote another out-of-the-park column, Lessons from the Failure of Obamacare, ronpaulinstitute.org, if you want to check it out, ronpaulinstitute.org. And in this brilliant column, entitled The Right Lessons from Obamacare's Meltdown, he lays it out.
Quote, the decision of several major insurance companies to cut their losses and withdraw from the Obamacare exchanges, combined with the failure of 70% of Obamacare's health insurance co-ops, will leave one in six Obamacare enrollees with only one health insurance option, end of quote. So you have to ask yourself, Sam, why are these insurance companies losing money? Well, because they're required by law to insure those who enroll. They may not discriminate against those with poor health, and those who in a free market would not be able to get insurance coverage.
In other words, the bottom line is in the free market, you would manage your losses and you would basically appropriately gauge your investment by the general idea of it's a risk-reward analysis. You would take that risk-reward analysis and you'd put your money into things that make sense. That ability is gone in the system.
Because the government has required, by force, these insurance companies to take all enrollees, to take pre-existing conditions and also people who are not insurable in a free market. They have to take them, and then they have to pay the medical costs of these people who are really not insurable in a free market. And so it's killing the insurance companies. They are getting out, backing out. The federal government promised they would make up the difference monetarily, but they're not following through on their promises. And so the major insurance companies are simply getting out. Then the exchanges are going down in flames. And so it's not surprisingly, the Obamacare apologists, Sam, are now calling for a single-payer system. And they've totally given up on the idea of competition in the marketplace. In fact, they're probably going to blame the capitalistic system that we have for the failure of Obamacare when this is not the case at all. In a capitalistic system, the market's a free market. People can go in and out of the marketplace. They're not forced to take on people and insure them. They can discriminate between people they want to insure and those they don't want to insure.
Or they can put plans in place that can cost more for that insurance, justly covering the gamble or the risk, if you will.
When I was growing up, Sam, they had categories for smokers and non-smokers, right? And so the risk of health problems for non-smokers is lower than the risk of health problems for smokers. And
believe it or not, when I was a kid as a blind person, everybody in my family could get insurance, but they wouldn't insure me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said blind kids are too crazy. They, it's not good to insure them,
Very interesting. And so insurance companies then, because they can charge a lower rate to people who don't smoke, they charge a higher rate of insurance premiums to those who do smoke. It's all well and good. The marketplace decides what those price points are, and life is good. And the free market works just all the time, Sam.
Bottom line is healthcare is not a right, ladies and gentlemen.
Not a right at all, because taking money from you to pay for healthcare for me violates your right to the fruits of your labor. And so it's simply not right. Taxation is theft, Sam. Requiring people to purchase a product or a service is simply criminal. Obamacare is a con. Refer to my earlier comments about the Dinesh D'Souza movie. Obamacare is a con, and the middle class particularly is getting taken. They're getting stolen from. They're getting smashed down by this. And everybody's poorer as a result. Not even the poor people who Obamacare was intended to help can get better medical care today.
They still can't afford it either.
They can't. The longer wait lines in ERs, because ERs have to take everybody now. So if you have a hangnail, versus, somebody, a gaping wound due to a car accident, it just bottles up the emergency care and makes the long lines poorer.
But Ron Paul, in typical fashion, doubles down on solutions.
It sure does, Sam. And he says, to end his column, he says, the first step in restoring a health care system that meets the needs of all people is to start treating health care as a good that can and should only be provided via voluntary actions of free people. And so bottom line for you and me, Sam, and all of our good listeners, is to work to free the marketplace from the well-intentioned intervention of government in the marketplace. You guys, get them out of there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving to the Paris Climate Agreement. This is something that'll just shock you, folks.
195 countries gathered in Paris, France, a while ago, decided that they need to do something about climate change, Sam. Basically, first world nations will transfer $100 billion of taxpayer money from first world nations to third world nations, so it can help pay for the conversion of their facilities to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which are contributing ostensibly to climate change. They're going to build early warning systems, emergency preparedness. This money is going to go to monitoring slow onset events like receding coastlines. It's going to build risk insurance, risk assessment companies, non-economic losses, resilience of communities and ecosystems, to name just a few. So, Sam, based on the con, who is going to benefit from these new companies that are formed in these third world nations to do risk assessment, to install emergency preparedness systems, to build early warning systems, and to develop resilience of communities and ecosystems?
Well, the lie they want to tell you is, hey, we're just reaching out in kindness and love and service to our fellow men, and we're trying to help everybody, and man, it's a charitable thing, and y'all need to be part of it. That's the lie. That's the con. The reality is you've got these transnational corporations headed by people who are in bed with governments around the world who are globalists, and these globalists simply want to use politicians to decide where the money goes. It's a gigantic transfer of wealth from every one of us, really, to third world dictators in bed with transnational corporations. Lowell will break it down in seconds on the other side. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Memo to Me. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Barack's out talking about global warming. And he's literally selling us, the American people, down the road. What he's doing is criminal. And it needs to be stopped. Okay? It needs to be stopped. But it can only be stopped if the American people know what's going on. And the problem is they don't. The American people are not being told by the mainstream press what's happening. This is an international issue, folks. Paris Climate Agreement. They don't call it what it is. Okay? They're not calling it a climate agreement. It's a treaty, folks, but they're calling it an agreement so Barack can deceive you and get away with saying it himself, ignoring Congress. It's criminal. Lol?
You nailed it, Sam. You described perfectly what happens to the money that is allocated for this climate change agreement. I just wanted to refer to Haiti. You know, Haiti, this earthquake of 2010 devastated the country. And billions of dollars in aid were allocated and given to ostensibly to Haiti. And I just want to indicate here that 33 cents of every dollar that went to Haiti was given directly back to the United States to reimburse ourselves for our sending in our military. Okay, so that's a third. 42 cents of every dollar went to private and public non-governmental organizations like Save the Children and the UN World Food Program and the Pan American Health Organization, all with, you know, ostensibly wonderful purposes to their organization, but they went to the organization, not to the Haitians. So 33 cents to the U.S., 42 cents to the NGOs, and so that leaves like just a mere 25 cents that actually went to Haitians or to their government. And so that's what happened in Haiti. The very same thing would happen here, Sam, if we do this this climate change treaty. If we go for this, then this money is going to be sucked out of the middle class, basically taxpayers here in the United States and other first world countries, and it will go into the pockets and the hands of the cronies, those who grease the palms of the politicians making the decisions of where that money goes. It is a con game, and we must not allow Obama to sign this agreement. He thinks what I've just given you is the practical reasons not to participate. Here's the constitutional reason not to participate. The president does not have the authority to sign that agreement. That is a treaty. I don't care if it doesn't say the word treaty in its title. It's called the Paris Climate Agreement, and he's treating it like an executive agreement. And he's going to bind the American people without two-thirds approval of the Senate, which is required by our Constitution. And you and I, ladies and gentlemen, must not let him do this. It's criminal for him to sign this agreement and think that it binds the American people to follow through on it. And so this is a constitutional reason not to be involved in this. He knows better. but he's doing it because he wants to benefit all of his cronies and other people, NGOs and others, that would benefit monetarily from this climate agreement.
You compare it to the Haiti example. We spent money there big time, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So remember Haiti when you think about this climate agreement. Know that, most of the money that was ostensibly sent to Haiti did not go to the Haitians. It went to the United States government and to the various NGOs and not to the Haitians. The very same thing would happen here in these climate change agreements.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to reject this thing big time. Those who are, you know, connected to the politicians decide where the money goes, and they put it in the hands of their friends. They put it in the hands of evil men, and they have zero authority, and Congress needs to absolutely hold the president accountable for his criminal activity on this. Paris Climate Agreement. Run like heck from it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, by the way, there's a local group doing a great job here. They're in a place called Kaysville, Utah. They're the Kaysville Citizens for Responsible Government, or KCRG, if you will. And they're doing a pretty good job up there, aren't they, Lowell?
I'm a little giddy when I talk about this group, Sam. And on this show, we often talk about national problems and international problems sometimes. And so I really like to highlight what local people are doing in their own local community, because this is where the real answers are found. This is where you can really have an impact on the liberty that you enjoy or don't enjoy in your own community. And so I'm a little giddy to talk about this, very excited. Here it is, the Kaysville Citizens for Responsible Government. They're a watchdog group on their own city council, the little town of Kaysville in Utah. I get their emails. I've been in contact with them over the years. And if you live in Kaysville or in nearby towns, you too can be a part of what they're doing. So I just wanted to highlight two or three or four things that they've been doing. They have a secretary who sends out the emails. They have a finance director. They have 20 voting precinct captains, one for each voting district in their community. They have over 500 members, Sam, and they work with other groups in nearby Centerville and nearby Layton, who have also organized and are now watchdogs of their own city council government. And so here in an email just recently, they outlined the goals that they met. They set these goals, and then they met these goals. Number one, they were able to defeat the bond election for a new police station in November of 2010. However, under the leadership of Mayor Steve Hyatt and Kaysville City Manager John Thacker, this defeat was reversed by a city council decision when the city council slipped through a revenue sharing bond that was completely controlled by John Thacker, the city manager, and the mayor, Steve Hyatt. And thus, their first victory was reversed. You see, I remember talking to them several years ago about nullifying that city council decision via referendum, but they couldn't put it together quickly enough, or they could have maintained that first victory. But it did spur them on to another victory later on. So number two here, we were able to get Proposition 5 passed, which prevented the city from using money paid to pay in electric bills. That money was going to purchase raw farm ground for speculation. They lost millions of dollars on that fiasco, and so the KCRG, basically the citizens group, passed Proposition 5, which prohibits taking any further money from the electric fund for the use in speculation. That was a huge win. And number three here, we were successful in electing three of our current city council men and women. Susan Lee has just finished 2.5 years as city councilwoman. We're able to get her help with Councilman Adams and Page as the elections last November. So now they have three of the five on the city council. The good guys have a majority of the city council. And then he says our latest victory is defeating our mayor's bid to go on to serve in the county commissioner. So you go back to point number one, Steve Hyatt, their city mayor, that did the end around to build that brand new police station. He went on to shoot for the county commissioner's office, and they defeated his bid for that county commissioner seat. And then finally, they replaced their city manager, who basically never had a contract. He ran the city the way he wanted to, not the way the citizens wanted him to. And basically they replaced him. And so this citizens group, over, they've been working together now for 5 or 6 years, and I've been in touch with them off and on over the years. But they said finally, the KCRG is still needed to not only eliminate the corruption in city government, but also keep it out of county government. I am not sure we will ever be able to disband our group. Politicians need to be watched. And I love that quote. She, Margaret Bruff, is the author of the email, the secretary of the group, and she ended her email with that single powerful sentence, quote, politicians need to be watched, end of quote. And so, Sam, each of you of our listening audience, in your respective communities, you need to watch your politicians. If you are not angry about something that your city government is doing, then you're simply not paying attention. You need to understand the proper role of government, and then you need to make sure those who are serving in public office adhere to the proper role of government. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to get involved. You've got to watch your politicians. You've got to organize yourself into a group that's really making a difference. And, you know, when there's organization, when there's education, there's success, Lowell. And that's really all we're talking about. Everybody needs to do a little bit for liberty, the sacred cause, every single day. Just a little bit, not a whole lot, but before you know it, a little bit from a lot of people becomes a whole lot. And that's what we're after.
Now, a lot of people wonder what they can do, Sam. And I think it's pretty simple. You can become informed. You can listen to the Liberty Roundtable. You can listen to the Tom Woods show, to the Jason Stapleton show. You can read the New American Magazine. You can read articles on the Campaign for Liberty website, articles on the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity website. You can serve in public office. You can run for public office. You can support people who run for public office. You can be a watchdog of your own city council, a service district, or your county commission. And basically, Sam, your involvement and the involvement of every citizen in this country just a little bit will turn the tide and make a huge difference, striking a blow for the cause of liberty, the sacred cause of liberty.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, we're flat out of time. Thank you so much, my friend.
Good to be with you. Thank you, Sam, Kurt.
They're doing a great job at campaignforliberty.org. Hey, thanks.